Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Welcome into Tuesday. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, and you. Get in touch with us. Real easy to do. Dial it up, 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. Find us via email, chris@hailvarsity.com, and give us a follow on Twitter, Chris Schmidt, at Schmidt underscore radio. Colton Stone, two birds, one stone. On the program, we'll run down Mitch Sherman from The Athletic, get his thoughts on some Big Ten football on Nebraska. I'm not sure. We'll ask him if Mitch was showing off his three-point range. Or in the mayor's case, they've got a four-point line. So we'll see if Mitch drilled some fours beyond the three-point line. Derek Peterson going to join us as we gear up for Nebraska football 2019. And he was golfing yesterday. U.S. amateur qualifier for Jay Moore yesterday. 36 holes in just god-awful weather for Jay. 36 holes yesterday, so we run down black shirt Jay in hour two. So we'll get into a little bit of the mayor, his thoughts, some more sidebar points from Scott Frost. And I know we talked about attendance yesterday. Facilities also a topic of discussion we'll spend some time with on with Mitch Sherman. And listen, we'll get into facilities here. And I know it's not super interesting, but we'll make it interesting. We'll make it interesting. We'll get Colton's wheels a spinning on how he would spruce up the fan experience that goes to attendance. And I'll take Coach Frost's word for it if he's got guys sitting on stairs. And it's almost like a classroom back in my teaching days where you have too many kids in a room. It's hard to learn, hard to get comfortable, hard to focus. Not all the time, but some of the time. So facilities, you'll hear from Scott Frost on that. So it is another day. It is another Nebraska football player cited on suspicion of marijuana possession. Let's start there. So just after 11:30 Monday, Miles Farmer cited on suspicion of possession of less than an ounce of marijuana. That per Leslie Reed, the University of Nebraska-Lincoln spokesperson. Farmer in his room at University Suites at the time, per Reed, and a community service officer detected the smell of marijuana coming from the room. So Farmer's a freshman. He's from Atlanta, Westlake High School. He's expected to contend for early playing time. Farmer's one of these dudes at safety or at nickel that has wowed a tough guy to wow, and that's Travis Fisher. So you have Farmer that comes in at 6'3", almost 200 pounds, natural fit for that back end, and he's come in mentally ready to go, to compete. Physically, he has it, but you put the mental and the physical together, that's why you're so excited about a guy like Farmer. He's one of the names that we've been talking about. He's one of the names we're hearing about because he's ready to go and contribute. So, Farmer, the fourth Husker this summer to be cited for possession of marijuana or drug paraphernalia, joining Jeremiah Stovall, sophomore, Maurice Washington, and freshman Wandale Robinson. So I looked for the clip of it. I don't have the clip of Scott Frost off to the side. You had the main podium, you had the side podium, and then you had the radio rounds Frosty made. And he was asked about marijuana use. If he's talked to his guys often about the wacky tobacco. And here's Frost's quote from Chicago. It's going to continue to be a problem, not just with us, but college athletes everywhere, particularly with it being legalized other places Our team understands. I don't care where it's legal and where it isn't. It's illegal, according to the NCAA. Don't think it's beneficial for our guys who are trying to accomplish what our guys are trying to accomplish. We're certainly not unique in that we've had a few problems with that, but we're doing everything we can in trying to help kids not to do it. We'll keep fighting that battle. So Scott Frost had to walk into a situation at Central Florida where guys probably didn't give a whole lot of damn about football. He had to make football fun again. He had to flip the culture around. He had to get him to buy in. You get on the steps of what it takes to rebuild a program. And yet, along with that apathy, you have a symptom of apathy, probably not caring a whole lot. You have the opposite. You have a ton of guys in the Nebraska football room that care, that want to win. You also have different levels of maturity. You also have different backgrounds. Mm-hmm. Not an excuse for smoking weed at age 18, at age 24, at age 34, at age 50, if it's illegal in your community.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, this is not anything Nebraska's ducking. This is not anything Nebraska is not educating their teams on. It's just something that kids, dare I say, are used to.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's legal in Atlanta or not. But a year ago, the NCAA kind of peeled back. All right? This is from July of 2018, where you have the NCAA making some comments about marijuana. Because you had switch the college name, switch the freshman, switch the team, and you've got this story on how many Division I campuses.
Right.
You just do. So two things to remember about marijuana use per the NCAA back in July of 2018. It's still against federal law. It's still not allowed by the NCAA. You take a pee test and you have weed in your system, you're popped. The difference is beginning last year, and this was Rutgers. Okay, this is part of the Big Ten family in TV market only, where you have Rutgers and the NCAA allowing schools to have different stances, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's not a uniform Big Ten policy. It is going to be, all right, you handle your business at a local level. Rutgers, it's three strikes before you get suspended. At least this is Rutgers' stance a year ago. Rutgers softened their penalties on positive marijuana tests in recent years. And I'm wondering if the NCAA is going to trend that way. What they don't want you doing is let's reenact Mark McGuire and Canseco in a bathroom stall,
mm-hmm,
being pin cushions. Sorry, I'm going baseball steroid era. But you don't want that stuff that's going to make you grow a third ear and shrink your boys to the size of peas. Not that I'm poo-pooing marijuana use. I mean, Frost right now, dude, he's probably just like screaming because it looks bad. And now there are worse things, but you've got Maurice Washington's situation that's looming out there, mm-hmm, right? So you have, I think, the same dorm, okay? You've gotten guys, three of the four have been busted in their room. And what do you tell them? Don't do it. What do you tell them again after the second guy? Dude, don't do it. Third guy, what did I say? I'm screaming in a cave here and I hear an echo. There's no response but my own voice.
Mm-hmm.
So this isn't unique to Nebraska. I think if you're Nebraska, you look at this and say, what are our peers in the league doing? Is this an issue at Michigan? Maybe. They're not getting busted for it. Is this an issue at Northwestern? Maybe. They're not getting nailed for it. I mean, the only program in the Big Ten that has had off-the-field issues, and you can't lump all off-field issues in the same category. There's an A, B, C, and D. I think many of you would go, well, marijuana use isn't great, but it's legal to the state to the left of us. And you've got gambling legal to the state to the right of us. It just is. And listen, I'm a parent of a 12-year-old, and I've had this talk with him. Dude, stay away from it. Isn't worth it. Not a good idea. But kids are going to be kids, and kids are going to experiment no matter what you tell them. So if you're Frost, you just got to make the punishment pretty severe. And I'm not saying suspension. I'm not saying multiple game suspension. I'm saying make it above that that missing class, skipping class thing, where you're doing stadiums, where you're doing extra work with Coach Duvall super early, and you're already up early. I don't have an answer. I just know that this is number four, and it isn't a good look, and it's not a great thing for Nebraska football, but it could be worse. I that's a cop-out, but I guess that's my take. You're just getting nailed for it, and you got to be smarter about it, and I believe Nebraska's preached till they're blue in the face from an educational standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you hear all these great things about off-season and commitment and work ethic and swag, and all of that can still be true, and you can still have a smoker or two or four on the team. Let's go to the phones real quick. Chris, thanks for hanging on. Go ahead.
Hey, Schmitty. It's two things here real quick. One, how stupid do you have to be to continue to do this in your dorm room?
Go for a walk. I know.
Like, go outdoors. Like,
it's the same dorm, okay, isn't it?
That's what I'm saying. Like, clearly, there's a couple of bloodhound, you know, peace officers that roam the hallways, and they can smell it.
So Chris, you just follow the empty Cheetos bags, brother.
Yeah. So go outside. Okay. It helps. And then the second part of this is, maybe this is a great opportunity for Scott to bring back the Unity Council so that he can lay this in the Unity Council's hands and say, all right, guys, you deal with the punishments here. That way the punishment's not being dealt down from the coaching staff specifically, but from their peers and their other players.
I love the Unity Council angle. Is he ready to make and form a unit? And I know there's like kind of a captain's group they've got now. It's not been titled the Unity Council. But Are guys on that council now smoking? I'm just asking the question.
Yeah, I mean, that you bring up a good point.
How rampant is it if Frost is like looking you dead in the eye saying, look, man, we're trying, but it's a monster problem in college football. It's a monster problem in college now because it is recreational.
Yep.
Appreciate the call, man. Thanks for tuning in.
Yep.
All right. Colton, I'm going to lean on you, recent graduate, of your buddies, and if you want to tell me to go to hell, none of my business, fine, but of your buddies, say out of five, how many are recreational users?
I mean,
three?
Well,
what I mean by recreational, once every so often.
So social and not like regular?
Right, like they don't wake and bake.
It's like, hey, if it's at a party, you're going to do it.
Yeah.
Probably 3 out of 5.
60%.
Yeah. Two out of five to three out of five. Yeah.
And that number is what for alcohol, even if you were underage while you were in college?
Probably higher.
Well, you're at 100%.
Yeah.
If you're at a party, you're having a beer.
Yeah. So, I mean,
that's what it is now. Right?
Yeah.
That's the mentality, I think, for the 18 to 22-year-olds or younger. Well, it's just like that's what it's traded. It's traded spots.
The only difference is now,
it is the 2.0 version of underage drinking.
Right. And the other difference is a little bit, because no one can say there's not drinking going on in dorm rooms either, because you know that's happening too. But I guess the difference is like if it's social, typically I feel like you're not the one. I'd say of those 3 out of 5 people, they typically aren't the people buying it, probably.
No, they're just using it.
They're just like, they know someone there that brought it, and they're like, all right, cool, I'm here. And when I leave, it's not with me, so it's not my problem anymore. And I think, I guess that's part of the thing, too, is like how are the players getting it, too? I think that plays a factor, I think, but and how
I mean,
often
is there like, a dope man in the corner
right
corner you know, room
Right. And is how often is it?
Who's
like
the kid with the blacklight posters up? Doesn't have a roommate. Has a chinchilla named Cheech.
Bought both sides of the dorm so he didn't have to have a roommate.
Nobody wanted him as a roommate.
Yeah.
While he's a hell of a good time and eat lots of pizza, maybe he don't shower all that often.
So, I mean, that's the thing. Is like, I think it boils down to the frequency of the use and also, like, just not making the right choice. Because the thing is if you're willing to just, like, make this decision and go against, like, what the team's belief is, it's just a matter of, you know, what else are you willing to
well, be it's a, lenient it's a commi- on? It's a commitment question.
Exactly.
Now, it's there's also the let's unbutton our top collar and put our feet up here before things get real.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that needs to involve smoking.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've just crushed out three summer sessions or you've been doing summer workouts and you've got a little bit of a break before fall camp starts, you're going to go have a good time. Whatever your definition of a good time is, and it looks like there's still an issue around college football where the definition of a good time is having less than an ounce of marijuana. We'll talk facilities, Big Ten, and the mayor. Mitch Sherman's coming up at Hale Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hale Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
We'll revisit Jerry DiNardo's comments with us about a month ago on college football and marijuana use. We welcome in Mitch Sherman, The Athletic, at Mitch Sherman on Twitter. Mitch, how's your day?
My day is good. Made a trip to Lincoln to see some Fred Hoiberg ball and speak to the coach or listen to the coach speak. So that was schedule diversion from normal summer days or any other days that I've ever spent in my life. But enjoyed that, and now I'm back in the homeland.
I was wondering, and we were talking with Colton, I'd shoot a three or a four as Hoiberg has it roped off now. I know Colton had launched one from four. Did you find a lonely basketball and do your best your best Fred Hoiberg impersonation? Did you take a shot at the practice facility?
No. I'm going to be a professional in that moment. And no, I walked in, and the players were on the court, and they were using all of the basketballs, and they left the court for a period of time to, I believe, meet in the locker room, and the balls were put away. I did not grab a ball out of the bin and shoot a four, but you know what was most amazing about the practice, and this will be what I remember. Nothing against any of the players, but. Because some of those guys looked pretty good, I thought. They're not a good team right now. I think I can say that with confidence, but they've practiced like 4 days, mm-hmm. And there's 11 newcomers on the group. But so Hoiberg, they're running this this system, this kind of a rebounding drill. They had guys underneath pads down there. They were working on some box out stuff, and they were rotating the ball around the top. And every time it got Fred, he would take a shot. And you know it's better for a rebounding drill if it's a missed shot. I mean, getting a rebound of a made shot, that doesn't really do anything. So, or it doesn't count as a rebound. So Hoiberg was missing shots on purpose, and you know you don't want to send the rebounds going like 30 feet off you know back toward half court. So he was missing, and he missed like 48 out of 50 shots, and that's hard. That's hard to do. So I mean, it takes a great shooter to just as it's hard to shoot like 50% from three, to shoot like 5% from three or 2% from three is really a difficult thing too. And he made it look easy.
Yeah, to miss on purpose so your guys can work on rebounding tells you about his touch.
He's good. He's good at it. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, they're a work in progress before they head to Italy. Sounds to me like communication's the key thing they're working on.
Yes. Fred is looking forward to getting to Italy where none of their cell phones work. So they have to look each other in the eye and speak to each other and learn each other's name. Because he said right now when the team is together is that they're the happiest moment for everyone is when they're able to go back and pick up their phones and get back into their world to the world. They're comfortable and speak and text with the people that they're used to seeing. Yeah, that's going to change. I mean, it's not like it is just pulling together a bunch of guys who have nothing, nothing in their shared history and making a basketball team out of it. I think when when you read and heard about who Coach Hoiberg and Matt Abdelmassi brought together in a short period of time, it was exciting, and the prospect of this 2019-2020 team growing into something special, it was there, you could think about it, but then to actually see them together now for the first time around the first time on the court, some of the realities set in. And there's some good players there, but they have no idea how to communicate with each other. And that is going to be objective number one for this coaching staff when they get these guys on a plane to Europe and, in practice before they leave, and then, of course, when they're in competition next month.
Mitch Sherman's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, The Athletic at Mitch Sherman. Mitch, want to go to Media Days, and it was good to see you in Chicago, and you had a chance to cover Nebraska and then kind of soak in the rest of the teams in Chicago. And I want to go to the facilities discussion. We'll have some audio from mm-hmm. Frost on that here next segment. Mm-hmm. But where Nebraska's at facility-wise compared to where they need to be, the public comments by Frost, does that get things kind of jump-started? So in a year and a half, we're having a press conference or a groundbreaking on something new, on an expanded weight room, on another indoor facility. What needs to happen for Nebraska? And are you surprised Nebraska has not been more proactive?
Well, I think it could be earlier than a year and a half.
Okay.
Based on his comments, I don't think Scott would have come out that hard and given it the hard sell in the way that he did if he didn't have good feelings about the possibility that something could be coming sooner than that. Because, I don't think as a head coach, you go into any public setting and say, our meeting rooms are too small, our training room's too small, our weight room's fine, but our strength coach is overworked because we can only get a quarter of the team in there at a time. We've got guys sitting on the steps during team meetings. The position rooms are too small. I mean, that stuff's going to come back at him if there's not some kind of an upgrade in the works pretty quick. And I don't think that he would allow himself to be put in that situation. Now, you heard a different song from Bill Moos for sure, but he's the one who has to get the approval. He's the one whose bosses have to say this is okay. He's the one who has to work out the numbers. And I think Scott has some faith right now, I'm sure through conversations that he's had with people in the athletic department, people like Bill Moos, that they're going to be able to make this thing work. And, what's it going to look like? From the sounds of what Scott Frost is talking about, they're going to need a new facility. I mean, I don't think you can take the North Stadium as it is right now and renovate it and get it into a spot where all of these rooms are bigger. I think they're going to have to take that North Stadium, that floor where the football office is, and turn it into something else and build a new building where everything is under one roof. And you've got your practice facility, which I imagine is going to stay where it is, but be connected to something else, to an office building, to a weight room, to a locker room. I don't know logistically and structurally how it all comes together, considering the current setup. But, Scott Frost's words in Chicago made me think that this is something that's going to be on the table sooner rather than later.
Mitch Sherman's with us, The Athletic, Hail Varsity Radio at Mitch Sherman. Mitch, another Husker player in trouble for suspicion of marijuana possession. and this is the fourth Husker, and this is not unique to Nebraska. It's not unique to college football. Mitch, have you gone in depth at all, or have you had just chats with the different coaches in your time covering college football? Can you put a stamp on just how big a problem this is in your eyes in college football, marijuana use, recreational use?
I haven't talked to a lot of coaches about it, no. It's a subject that comes up occasionally, and it did come up last week in Chicago with Scott Frost, and he was pretty firm in saying, you know, I don't really care what the societal norms are. It's against the rules. I don't really care what, you know, what's legal in other states. It's against the rules of the NCAA. And, you know, I think the point that he's driving home and what I've heard from other coaches is that, you know, regardless of how you feel about it or how your friends feel about it or how your family feels about it, if you make a decision like this to do something that's against the rules, then in that moment, you are putting yourself ahead of the team. And it's a huge objective for Scott Frost and his staff at Nebraska to have 150-some guys who put the team ahead of themselves. So, you know, we can talk, and I'm not here in this conversation, you know, about the political implications of legalized marijuana and what the dangers are and, you know, how it compares to alcohol use and how it's viewed societally. Those are all different discussions. But I think the thing that Scott Frost will reference with his team is that it's not something that is allowed. And it's against the rules, and it's important to put the team ahead of yourself, so cut it out. And, you know, not to mention that, if players are being cited with this, then it's only a matter of time before some of them are going to test positive in you know, what are mandated drug tests by the NCAA. And then you're going to be dealing with, you know, further discipline on top of what already may be in the works because of these tickets that are being issued. So, yeah, it's a big issue, I think, and is going to continue to be a big issue with the team until you see either a law or a rule change, or you know, guys all getting on the same page about how they're going to deal with it.
Mitch, about a minute or so. What's coming up from you? What can folks find at The Athletic, Nebraska related from Mitch Sherman?
We'll continue to read our Realignment Revisited series that debuted yesterday. If you missed it, there's a great story by David Ubben that touches the Nebraska situation back in the early part of this decade to leave the Big 12. And, you know, why that was in the works. And his story is all about the super conference that never happened, the Pac-16, and all of the politics. It's entertaining. Great. It's a great read by David Ubben. I have a piece that also came out yesterday about Nebraska and the impact of the Big Ten over the last 8 or 9 years on the athletic department and the athletic program and the different sports, including football, at Nebraska. Tomorrow you can read today you can also read in that same series, Scott Docterman got into the Nebraska-Iowa rivalry. Some really cool stuff in that story. And tomorrow I'll have a story that's separate from the Realignment Revisited series on the confidence and the swagger and the energy that appears to have returned with the black shirts this season in Nebraska and how their early season success may hold the key for Nebraska in September this year.
I think you're on to something here. How's the defense come out of the gate? That'll be big time. Mitch, it was good to see you in Chicago. Thanks for taking and making time today. Fun to chat with you.
All right, thanks. Same to you, Chris. Take care.
All right, there he is, Mitch Sherman from The Athletic, at Mitch Sherman on Twitter. We'll touch on the black shirts. We'll hear from Coach DiNardo on marijuana use. Hail Varsity continues.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, chris@hailvarsity.com.
Just try me.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone. Good stuff from Mitch Sherman. Reminder about your friends at Sauter Heyman. Rick and the gang have that selection for you, have that selection for her. And maybe it's time to pop the question. Plenty of wedding rings to select from Sauter Heyman. Of course, interest-free financing available. Three locations in Nebraska for you with Sauter Heyman. 12th and O downtown, Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, Lincoln, or out west in Grand Island. Can log on SauterHeyman.com. All right, so Mitch left us, as always, wanting more time with Mitch. Derek Peterson's coming up in about 20 minutes. Jay Moore next hour as well. So we can tackle a couple of things. The Nebraska-Iowa rivalry growing. Very, very true. We can also touch on the black shirts of 2019. It doesn't get much better than having a chance to sit down with Mo. Mo Berry is a guy that is all about his defense, his guys. You look at Khalil Davis, and you look at the Daniels brothers, Darian, what he has done impact-wise and what's expected of him and his brother this upcoming season. And anxious to read Mitch's piece tomorrow on those 2019 black shirts. Where do you think Nebraska's biggest strength's going to be on defense? And, you know, it's not fair to just kind of go plug and play. It's year two, so you'll see a Central Florida-type stud in Shaquem that'll be an All-American and come off the edge and destroy quarterbacks. You had, I think his name was Smith, one of the corners that went first round to the Vikings.
Tranquan, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, yeah. So is that going to be Lamar or DeCap on the edge? It's safety. You've got Deontay and Dismuke and maybe a Miles Farmer. I don't know. You've got Cam Taylor that you got to be excited about because of how versatile he is. And despite his youth, he's one of those guys that loves football, that is pretty high attention to detail and is a leader. Is a guy that communicates with their teammates. I know he's roommates with Maurice Washington. You put a guy like Cam Taylor in a room and rooming situation to be there for a guy like Maurice Washington.
Mm-hmm.
You put your exceptional kids with your kids that may need a little bit of extra attention, and you have the rub-off effect, right? The good helps the guys that are maybe struggling a little bit.
Right.
Yeah, I got put in, case in point, every group I got put in as a kid, I was with the smart kids. They didn't pick me. Teacher said, Schmidt, you're going over there. That's how it worked, right? Someone helps pull you along till you can start walking on your own. Defensively, you know, it's a weight room thing. It's a strength and conditioning thing. And then it's kind of a mentality and a mindset with Frost. And just the confidence this group has, and they haven't played a snap.
Mm-hmm.
But the way the year finished a year ago, 4-2 in it, you're just right there. And we'll hear from Frost here on his side session in a moment as to the why there's confidence. But you look at the depth and the body types that you're going to have on the defensive line. You look at a guy like Mo and Colin Miller on the interior.
Mm-hmm.
Will Honus back. You look at some of the talent and potential you have on the edge, and then you look at the secondary that really played well last year. I get it. And it's as good as Adrian Martinez is, you still have a lot of question marks about offense. I don't think Mitch is going to be far off with his story tomorrow on just the fact that out of the gate, and I'm not talking South Alabama, but I'm talking Boulder.
Mm-hmm.
Boulder is going to be crazy. It's going to be awesome at blur parties, but it's going to be a ball game that the Nebraska defense is going to have to make some plays. They're going to have to get some stops. And if you had one or two more stops last year defensively, by the way, had another score or two offensively, and I liked this point from Coach Frost in Chicago, you have a whole different win-loss record, don't you? I mean, that's all it takes. And here's Coach Frost on the team in general, but what they saw and how they finished a year ago, what they took with them into the offseason, and then the investment they made with the strength and conditioning side, with the best in the business and Zach Duvall. You put all that together, and you feel good about the black shirts stopping the run, getting after the quarterback, just being able to be a difference maker more so than last year in a series or two, and that's maybe how you're going to win some of the early games against an Ohio State and against a Colorado. Because you've got Chenault and you got Montez and you got some ballers on offense for Colorado. Now, if their coach, who's a pro-style throwback, let's go jackhammer people, doesn't let CU be high-flying, that's his own fault. If he handcuffs the offense. Mm-hmm. Don't think he will year one. But that's a big, big game in week two. And it's going to be the Nebraska defense finding a way to slow down the Colorado offense. And it's going to be the Nebraska offense making enough plays and taking care of the football, because the weak side of the ball will be the defense for Colorado. It ain't going to be the offense. Nebraska's defense last year did a lot of different things. They shored up in the second half against Iowa. They won the game for you against Michigan State. And they were right there, but not quite enough, paired with the turnovers by the offense against Ohio State. Mm-hmm. And you were up, and as much as the defense got torched on third and fourth and long against Northwestern, offense didn't get a first down and close it out running the football. Offense did not finish their job. Here's Frost on the hope and encouragement they have, defense, offense, the team, going into 19.
Particularly in light of what happened at Michigan, I give Michigan a ton of credit. We weren't ready for that game. We weren't ready for them and what we saw that day. You know, fast forward however many weeks it was, and we played a similar team in Columbus and had chances to win. And we're certainly in the game. And then to see Ohio State go win the league, we had to try to not win the Northwestern game. Give them a ton of credit. Coach Fitz does a great job. We're going to win that game most of the time in some of the situations we were in. And those two teams, Ohio State and Northwestern, were in the championship game. And both of those are games that we had a chance to win. So, again, that gives me a lot of hope and encouragement.
That's well put. Your starting point was, all right, Colorado, eh. But were you ready for the big time against Michigan? No. Did you get better? Did you learn? Did you improve? Yeah. And that's what's in the minds of these guys when they went to work this offseason. And it'll be the defense that has a lot more coming back, because you still got questions about the interior. You still got questions at running back. You still have questions at skill spots aside from Spielman. We'll wind down hour one. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, a reminder to buckle up, click it or ticket. So, motion, airbags, all that good stuff, motion and airbags. Sometimes it's not enough. You need the seatbelt. It prevents excessive injury when your vehicle and body need to slow down in a hurry. No kidding, man. In an Uber, leaving the hotel for media days Thursday morning around 5 a.m. Uber driver does a great job, very cautious, kind of pulls out from a blind spot. And some other driver is going Indy 500. Homeboy slams the brakes on. We're good, but it could have been bad. And a quick reminder of our friendly reads here from the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety about buckling up, because we needed to slow down because someone else was excessively speeding. So whether you're in the driver's seat, passenger seat, or back seat, buckle up now. Adrian Peterson, former NFL star, had a large portion of his earnings from his NFL career stolen from him by someone who pretended to be an investor. Adrian has earned over $100 million in his career. And The Athletic reporting that Peterson in debt, being sued in Pennsylvania for failing to pay back $5.2 million. It's a loan he took out. So Adrian's apparently trusted the wrong people. And he's a guy I remember meeting at Big 12 media days. But this is just too common. I mean, you've got a 30 for 30 on it called broke. And I don't know what, this isn't an a-hole comment by me, but this is true. I mean, it's documented that Adrian has four kids.
Mm-hmm.
So there's child support there. It blows my mind how guys, and I'm talking Mike Tyson, Mike Vick got embezzled on and ripped off by an agent. But Mike Vick also had monster legal fees. But Mike Vick signed $200 million contracts. I think he's doing okay now, but he's still... he went through bankruptcy. Mike Tyson is making $30 million a fight.
Mm-hmm.
Went belly up. He's okay now.
Well, and what's funny is I was actually watching a clip of Mike Tyson earlier and how he was saying, like, he thought the money he was spending to buy cars and clothes, mm-hmm. and you know, his entertainment, you know, was taking care of himself. And then he's like, I could have helped so many more people if I would have, like, been smart
sure.
with my money.
I mean, if I was going to just start handing it out, I would have handed it out to people in need.
Exactly.
And that's kind of Mike Tyson's heart. Adrian Peterson owes another creditor $2.4 million and another creditor $600,000.
Hmm.
So as a creditor, and you handed $5.2 million out, you're going to be lucky to maybe see a million if he's got any of it. The other creditor at 2.4, maybe half million. If you, hey, I need 600K here. Yeah, you're third in line. Isn't going to happen. It sucks for guys, and Adrian's not a good dude from what I've been told, but nonetheless, that's money that should go to his kids at some point, and there isn't any.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz _ radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Back with you, Tower 2. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, give us a find. And follow on Twitter, Chris Schmidt at Schmidt _ radio. Two birds, one stone for Colton Stone. It's time for the doctor. We say hi to Derek Peterson at HailVarsity.com and magazine at Dr. PDHV on Twitter. Derek, what are you doing right now? It's fabulous outside. Are you at the Hail Varsity offices? Are you sitting outside in the balcony?
I'm out running some errands, actually, with the missus. I'm sitting in a Starbucks.
Look at you. You are afraid of the sun. It's okay.
I am not afraid of the sun. Don't put that on me. The sun is great.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
How was practice today with the mayor?
It was good. First real experience watching what's an entirely new team. And we were kind of joking around. None of us have a starting five prediction after this first practice. But, one of the things that I think stood out the most was ball movement and just movement in general. There's a lot of movement. There was a lot of player movement. The first two or three drills they did was a lot of maybe one dribble, but guys moving all around the floor and a lot of dribble handoffs, a lot of pick and roll action, and a lot of just getting the ball, swinging it around the outside of the perimeter really quickly. There were drills where guys would take two dribbles, and then they would be setting up shots either in the corner or on the wing, and a lot of talking, a lot of player movement. I think – you know, Jacob and I kind of made mention of this, but the roster versatility that they have, it's going to be interesting to see how Fred kind of plays with his rotations a little bit, because he's got a lot of different things that he can do. Delano Banton, the Western Kentucky transfer who is sitting out, is the biggest guy they have, but he's also the smallest in terms of his frame. He's probably the skinniest that they have. A guy like Kevin Cross, the freshman forward coming in, he looks like a freshman. He looks like he's going to, you know, need some time in the weight room to get in a little bit better shape and get his body ready for Big Ten play and down in the paint. A guy like Shamil Stevenson, if they can get a waiver for him, I think that would be big. He's a thicker guy. He's not tall, but he's a bigger guy that they could play down. But, you know, there was a five-man grouping that they were running with where it was basically all wing players, and Banton was the guy who was initiating the offense, which was interesting. Fred has a lot of positional versatility that he can use. I think I wrote about this early on, that defensively there's a lot of versatility that Doc Sadler has at his disposal to really kind of move guys around and be switchable on the rotate on the perimeter. So I'm curious how that manifests itself on offense, because it looks like they have a lot of guys that are comfortable handling the ball. But like I said, the biggest takeaway was just movement. Guys moving around, guys talking, the ball not really sticking. You know, the thing with Tim Miles in the last regime was that it was very stale. And this first practice was not stale.
So it's kind of like watching the Spurs ball movement, fair to say?
I won't go that far.
Spurs, I'm saying the philosophy of it.
Yeah. Fred, I mean, that's what Fred wants to do. He likes to run the dribble weave. They ran it a ton at Iowa State. Just don't let the ball stick. Create movement, and that way you can sort of shift the defense and open things up that way. And that's kind of what I anticipate being the approach here. And, you know, we saw a lot of movement. I didn't see a ton of weave action, but there also wasn't a ton of, like, five-on-five action going on. So we'll see.
Did Charlie Easley stick out at all, or was he just another dude there?
Yeah, no, that was kind of the one guy that physically he looks the part. And I was kind of talking to Jacob about him a little bit, and Jacob said that he had one D1 offer. He should have had more, or he didn't have a D1 offer, he had an offer to the Citadel. And he's, you know, I think rightfully turned that down and decided to walk on in Nebraska. But physically, he is a guy who looks capable of playing in the Big Ten if you needed him to play. You know, Jace Piekowski maybe needs a little bit of time in the weight room, but a guy like Charlie Easley, he stood out to me just because of the physicalness, the kind of hard-nosed nature that he had. They did a box-out drill, and he was getting after it, and they did a transition drill where they had guys pulling up for three, spotting up for three, and he's pretty consistent knocking that down. So if he can be a guy that can defend really well on the perimeter and consistently hit outside shots, you know, he is a guy who, like I said, physically looks the part. So maybe he could find a role if need be. I mean, nobody has a role right now. Everybody's playing for minutes, and I think everybody's going to have an opportunity for minutes. And you know, you look at a guy like Charlie Easley, and just because he is a walk-on, that doesn't mean that I don't think he's going to have a chance. I think he might be the guy that has the best chance of that walk-on group.
He's been one of my favorite kids to cover for years at Pius, him and Donovan, of course, at North Star. And just, yeah, I mean, I was so hoping for just selfishly that Charlie get a look and a chance at Nebraska, and I'm glad that he stuck out because he's super talented. I mean, physically, mentally, I mean, the guy can just ball. And the question was, well, can he do it at the Big Ten level? It's a fourth practice you got to see today, but you get the grit that he takes with him to every gym he visits.
Well, yeah, he's got muscle on his frame. He's got weight on his frame. He looks like a guy who has been in a Division I weight room already. For more than just a month or whatever it's been. He looks like he's got some size to him. He's got a little bit of length. He's a 6'2" guard. He's got a little bit of length. I'm not out here saying that, you know, Charlie Easley is going to play over Jervay Green as a two guard. But sure. You know, he's a guy who, he stood out to me. I wasn't sure what to expect from that walk-on group. And I kind of made a comment to Jacob. I was like, this kid looks really good. For, you know, kind of what I was expecting coming in. And Jacob was like, yeah, it doesn't surprise me at all. This is a kid who probably should have got more offers for D1 ball than he had coming out of high school. And he might be a guy that you know, if you can get a guy, a walk-on guy in college basketball to be a contributor, that's a huge deal. And, you know, he might have that potential.
Derek Peterson's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, at Dr. PDHV on Twitter. Before we get into football, have you ordered yet, or do you need to order?
Oh, no, we're good.
Okay. Do you do iced coffee or latte?
Black coffee.
Good work. Good
like
work.
Like a normal person.
No, exactly. That's where I'm at, too. Give me black coffee. Yep. Chicago takeaway. It was good to see you. You crushed it. The Hail Varsity crew is incredible. What did you take out of the Windy City?
There was a lot of attention on Adrian Martinez, and rightfully so. And I was kind of curious what the national reaction was going to be to him. And it seems like it went pretty much to script in that regard. Everybody likes the maturity that he displays, and everybody likes his mind. He's got a high football IQ. He's got a good mind. That sounds weird saying, but my takeaway was the defense. I mean, Nebraska sent three guys, and two of them were defensive guys. And Mo Berry was. I spent most of my time during the player breakout session with Mo Berry, and he was honest and he was real. And you know, we talked about how the defense hasn't lived up to the expectations of a Nebraska defense in the last couple of years, and how they're itching to kind of change that. And it's, you know, it can get to become one of those things where it's okay. Yeah. I'm sick of talking, you know, show me. Mm-hmm. And he kind of acknowledged that that's sort of been the case over the last however many years. It's been a lot of talk in the off season, and they haven't really proved it in the middle of the season, but you know, Mo had answers for questions that we asked about how the defense gets better. Tony Tuioti has come in on the defensive line and really emphasized stopping the run, and that's something that Mo talked about a ton. He said, if you can stop the run in the Big Ten, you can win in the Big Ten. And, you know, so the question then becomes, okay, well, how do you do that? And he gave an answer that I hadn't really thought about before, but Darian Daniels, in Mo's eyes, is going to be huge this year for them. And when you think about it, it makes sense. You know, they didn't have a true nose guard last year. They didn't have a true 300-pound guy that could devour blocks, that could take on interior linemen and open stuff up for the linebackers to make plays. You know, the way this defense is structured, that's what the defensive linemen are supposed to do. They're supposed to eat up those blockers so that guys like Mo Berry and Colin Miller can go create havoc in the backfield. And last year specifically and years before that, Nebraska hasn't really had a guy that can be sort of a wrecking ball in the middle. And, you know, Mo talked about last year too often there were guards that were free releasing to him and Colin Miller at the linebacker spot. And, you know, guy was getting 5 yards before even getting contact. And, you know, you hope that can change. That's, you know, you look at the run defense and the numbers, and statistically Nebraska was not a bad passing defense last year. They're actually pretty decent. But the run defense was awful. And if Nebraska's going to be better, it's got to come from improvement in defending the run. And, you know, I think Mo knows that. I think the defense knows that. Khalil Davis talked about it a little bit as well. And, you know, there was just a lot of openness, I guess, was my takeaway from it. There was just a lot of, you know, we're sort of sick of talking about what we need to do and what we, you know, have the potential to do. And we're ready to show what we believe we can do.
Derek Peterson's with us, Hail Varsity Radio at Dr. PDHV. On Twitter, you wrote about Iowa and Nebraska and the rivalry, or if it's there yet. I'm pushing my chips and Colton's chips to the middle. I know it's the last rodeo for a Black Friday with Iowa for a couple, 3 years, and then Fleck and company roll in. But eventually it's going to get back, thanks to the Moose, and you'll have a Black Friday Nebraska-Iowa going on. It's inevitable, man. You've got Nebraska sick of getting stomped, and I know they lost by a field goal last year, but for the most part of that game, Nebraska was getting gashed Iowa style, right? It hasn't been close since 2014, where Nebraska won in overtime. Iowa's won by two or three touchdowns, aside from the unbeaten Iowa year where they got out of Memorial Stadium 28-20 in 2015. But Iowa's just clubbed Nebraska, and Nebraska's sick of taking it. against teams like Iowa and Wisconsin. Do you think Nebraska's got enough versatility? I know you touched on it with basketball. Do you think they'll have enough versatility to handle offenses, opposing offenses, that are going to be like what they could see with Michigan and what they will see with Ohio State, but also be able to morph into this two tight end I formation, let's roll our sleeves up and bar fight it out. That to me is the trick, where you got to be able to be multiple on defense. And Nebraska's got the personnel to be that good defensively this year.
Yeah, that's the hope. I mean, that's the plan. You know, that's how Chenander likes to play. He likes to play multiple. You know, if you ask him what kind of defense do you run, is it a true 3-4? And he says, no, we're pretty multiple. They have some 4-3 sets. They have some weird sets, too. You know, you look at a guy like JoJo Doman, if you're talking about versatility. And, you know, they've got outside linebackers and Tyron Ferguson and Alex Davis that can be sort of your stereotypical outside linebackers. And then guys like JoJo Doman who can do some of those, you know, those weird things, you know, when offenses get weird. I think Nebraska, you know, it's sort of what I was talking about before. It's about can you stop the run? And, you know, the biggest thing with that is have you gotten bigger? Have you gotten stronger? Have you put in work in the weight room? And, you know, for the most part, their struggles last year were just teams were bigger than them. And when they played the power teams in the Big Ten, the Wisconsins and the Iowas, that was when they struggled the most. Jonathan Taylor's averaging something like 10 yards a carry against Nebraska the last 2 years. And a lot of that is just strength and conditioning. So, you know, as long as things go according to plan, you know, Nebraska is going to be bigger. Nebraska is going to be a little bit stronger and a little bit more formidable in the trenches. And that lends itself to a team like Wisconsin, but it also lends itself to a team like Iowa. And I know Iowa's sort of changed up philosophy a little bit over the last couple of years, being a little bit more pass happy, you know, whether that's, you know, the new offensive coordinator or Nate Stanley being a pretty decent quarterback. I guess we'll see whenever Stanley's gone, but Iowa still likes to run the ball and they like to win with running and defense. And Nebraska's going to have to be able to stop those power sets. And, you know, that'll be a big part of the season. You know, you had Mitch Sherman on earlier and his colleague at The Athletic wrote something good about Iowa and Nebraska mm-hmm. and kind of that rivalry and how it hasn't really been a rivalry. But it geographically and, you know, from a logical standpoint, it just makes sense that it is the budding rivalry of the Big Ten. And that's kind of the sense that I got from talking to players at Media Days. You know, most said the same thing. He was like, you know, we didn't really view Iowa as a rival when we got here just because of their past success compared to our past success. And then, you know, with Iowa winning either 4 of the last 5 or 5 of the last 6 by an average of 21 points, you know, that does not a rivalry make. So, you know, if you're going to have that kind of contentious attitude between the two teams, now fan bases are different, but between the two teams, there has to be a give and take. That's why the thing with Oklahoma was so great for so long is because the two teams were constantly going back and forth with each other, and there was a healthy respect on both sides of you know, we have to bring it, otherwise we're going to lose this game. Whereas Iowa, I feel like over the last couple of years, it felt like, okay, we can not play our best game and we can still beat Nebraska. And there have been times where that's been true. So that's the rivalry. It'll be fun to see how it plays out.
Yeah, the fans hate each other. Iowa and Nebraska fans hate each other. I think the programs respect each other. And you've got a couple instances in 2014 and 2018 that were rivalry-worthy games where it's last-second overtime deals. Dr. Petey, I'll let you get that cup of joe. You're awesome. Phenomenal work. Thanks for jumping on with us today. And we'll run you down next week again. Thanks so much.
Appreciate you, dude.
See you, man. There he is. The good doctor having a cup of coffee. Derek Peterson, HailVarsity.com and magazine, and Dr. Petey HV. Black Shirt Time. Jay Moore up next on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Allstate, 2-year starter, and rush in for the Big Red, an NFL vet.
He's Dudeness or Duder or, El Duderino, if you're not into the whole brevity thing.
It's Blackshirt Jay Moore with Hail Varsity Radio.
Back in, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. A gold star day for Jay Moore, perfect golf weather, perfect two-a-day camp weather. Jay, is it ever such thing, Jay Bird, is two-a-day camp weather?
This would be phenomenal two-a-day camp weather. We can't even call them 2 days anymore. They can't have 2 days anymore.
I know.
They get off pretty easy right now. So this would be outstanding. Usually it's about like last week where it's heat index of 110 and your cleats feel like they're melting into the turf and at about 2:30 in the afternoon when you're out there practicing. So this would be phenomenal 2-day weather.
All right, it's time to rat somebody out. Who did you see come into camp, either NFL or college, that had one of those last Wednesday heat index, 1,000% humidity, day from hell, that just wasn't ready for it?
Oh my gosh, funny thing is you can't get ready for those type of days in camp. Like, you just can't. I don't care. The funny thing is you could work out and train as hard as you want, but like those first 2 or 3 days of camp, you're still sucking wind. Just because there's difference between being in like workout, running, training shape than football shape. You just have to go through about 3 or 4 practices to get into good football shape. It's just something different about it. Because you're never running and working out in pads and helmets and pants with pads in them and all that stuff on. So it's just, it takes a little bit. There's always, I can't think of, specific names, but, there'd always be, 2 to 3 to 4 guys that would literally lock up with full body cramps.
Yeah.
Like, they cannot move. They're on the floor in the locker room or wherever, the cafeteria we're eating or in the training room, and it's full body cramp. I've been fortunate enough not to have them. I've got the cramps in the hamstrings or in the calf or those – make you want to cry, but your full body cramps all of a sudden, because it gets kind of scary, because all of a sudden you got to get rush guys, get on IVs, and you got to kind of soak them in ice baths, and just, we've always been in ice baths. That's, you do that religiously, not only during training camp, but during the season, but, those guys will lock up and get put on IVs, and then you got to kind of monitor them for the next day or so. So those, you always had guys like that. It's funny for a minute because it starts in their calf and all of a sudden they're like, they're stiff as a board on the floor and they're like, I can't move. My body is like in a full cramp. So there's usually 2 or 3 guys that get those, every year. So not surprised at all when you're practicing out in heat like it can be like last week.
Jay Moore's with us. Hail Varsity Radio. Blackshirt Husker NFL or at JayMoore44. Jay, a lot of talk about Nebraska. We got back from Chicago late Friday night and kind of settling in before camp gets rolling here next week. And, I mean, the storylines, the talking season's winding down, and then it's going to be kind of camp confidential, and you've experienced it. And what do you are you expecting young guys to contribute? And I'm talking Wandale, I'm talking some of the guys in the secondary, or is it going to be kind of sprinkled in help with the younger players? Do you think some of the vets will step forward?
Yeah, I think you'll see Wandale. I think you'll see him for sure. Just because I think he's that good. I don't know how, he handles, big-time college football from day one. You put them out there in front of 90,000 when things get sped up a little bit and you're going to get someone different. You just don't know that. You just got to kind of throw them out there and see if they're going to sink or swim. But I still think you'll see him just because it's, we've yet to see guys in the wide receiver room kind of step up, whether it was in spring ball or even last season. You're going to get with J.D. Spielman and Cade Warner, but whereas like a Jerron Woodyard or a Mike Williams and, numerous other players, are they going to step up and finally contribute more consistently instead of, a game here and a game there because they had finally learned how to practice right for a week. But I think Wandale will be there. I just don't – secondary, defensively, we got some good guys back there already. I think – ideally, and this is ideally how I'd like to see the young guys brought in is, you beat up on South Alabama early on that first game and, you're up comfortably by you know, four or five touchdowns going into the fourth quarter, and then you see some young guys. I still think you'll see some young guys play special teams wise, because that's a good way to kind of let guys kind of take, you know, the get them out of the kiddie pool, so to speak, and get them in the deep water, and so they can get a little more comfortable with it. You know, hopefully we don't have to see a lot of young players. Hopefully the varsity guys, the veteran guys, you know, have kind of learned and matured a little bit after last year. They stepped up and learned the right way to practice and prepare better. So they're ready. They're going to be ready to play and contribute day one. But, you know, it'd be nice to get some comfortable leads out in some of these non-conference games. Even, you know, I don't know if that's all realistic against Colorado, but, you know, early in the season to get some of these young guys some playing time. But you'll see plenty of young guys. I know that. It's just you got to. You're going to see some guys because they're a bunch of big time recruits that are they're going to want them to play early and often. So they'll be out there one way or another, I think, come game one.
Jay, facilities, that's been a topic of discussion, and Coach Frost said functional. The facilities are functional, but size wise, it's a different roster size than when you were down there, and the indoor facility, did that get completed your sophomore year, your junior year? You were right there to get a little bit of use out of it. And was it a game changer for you? And do you look at facilities and do you look at Nebraska as being behind?
I don't see them behind at all. That the Hawks facility, that opened up my junior year, about midway through our junior year. I remember when we were practicing for the Alamo Bowl, we used that that whole time then. And to be honest, it was kind of a pain in the butt because we were still having our locker room in the South Stadium at the time.
Oh, wow.
The North Stadium, the new one, so we're out to kind of walk around out to practice there. So it's kind of a pain. But, you know, it's crazy. I was just sitting not too long ago having lunch with Jason Peter. He's like asking me about if I saw the LSU's new digs. I'm like, yeah, those are pretty sweet. And he'd mentioned how, you know, Nebraska's probably got to get, you know, it's crazy how they're going to have to be revamping. I'm like, yeah, I mean, it was 13 years ago that North Stadium expansion opened up. And it doesn't seem like that long ago, but and again, 13 years doesn't seem like that long, but in this day and age of college football and the facilities, it is. I mean, at that time, you know, Callahan was only carrying, you know, 115, 120 guys. Now they're at 140, 145. They're having to use two locker rooms now again. You know, guys are having to sit on the floor and the stairs in meeting rooms and stuff like that. So it's probably time. You know, it's not going to happen, you know, tomorrow. But I think within the next couple years, I think you'll see an announcement coming that there's some sort of improvement. I don't know if that's going to be, you know, tearing it. They're not going to be tearing it down. It's probably just going to be adding on, tearing some stuff out, updating it, you know, doing some new things because you're just going to have to. I mean, or they're carrying 150, you know, guys on the team. You got to have more space. But I don't think they're behind at all. Their facilities are really, really good with what they have now. But they're going to need some more room if they're going to carry 150. That's what I do know.
Jay, I want to wrap with this, and great to get caught up with you. Jay Moore, Blackshirt Husker NFL, or at JayMoore44. Another Husker popped for marijuana possession. Miles Farmer, another dorm situation. And I'm blue in the face with this because it seems like we have Jan every other week. We're talking about another Husker and, you know, one or two or too many, and now you're at four. And Coach Frost addressed it at media days that, you know, Nebraska's not unique. It's a major problem in college football. What's next? Is there a fifth guy that gets nailed for it? We're getting pretty close to the season.
I mean, hopefully, here's what I mean. If you want to talk about becoming a better, smarter football team, I'm getting a little worried with guys that keep getting busted. I mean, don't be, you know, learn from other people's mistakes. You know, don't be that guy that, you know, yeah, so-and-so just got busted in the dorm, so-and-so just got busted in his car. Like, be smarter than that. Don't be that dumb. You know, I know we're still talking about 18, 19-year-old kids, and I made plenty of mistakes myself at that age, but learn from other people's mistakes, and that's what these guys just got to do. I said it before. You're not going to get rid of it. It's going to be. It's going to. it's going to be an issue. Just these guys has got to be smarter. People around, people know who you are when you're walking around a lot of issued gear, and you just athletes stick out like a sore thumb. Everyone knows you're an athlete because you're bigger and stronger, and you don't look like an average student. You know, you look like you're there to play football, baseball, basketball, whatever it may be. People are going to notice you, so you got to be smart how you do things and handle yourself. Guys just got to be smarter until it's legal, and I just don't know if it's ever going to be legal in this state. But you guys are going to be smarter. That all it is, and hopefully guys just learn from other people's mistakes, and hopefully they're getting they're going to be punished. I know they're going to get put to the ringer in a tough workout for these issues, but just learn from other people's mistakes going forward, because it's kind of getting silly at this point.
Jay, about 90 seconds. How did golf go for you?
Well, I was kind of smooth sailing there yesterday. We had to do a US Am qualifier. It was 36 holes, and was even par going into 18, and 18 was playing tough. It was normally at Shadow Ridge up in Omaha, it's, you know, a 3-wood wedge in, and yesterday I was playing driver 6-iron because it was in about a 20-mile-an-hour north breeze. It was in the middle of the fairway, then I hit my approach into the water. It was just didn't hit it hard enough, and walk off making a triple after that and signed for a 75, and then all of a sudden, you know, kind of was out of it. If I shot 72, I was going to be in it still to qualify, and then I shoot another 75 afterwards, and I stayed in it. I fought. I didn't throw in the towel. So hit some good shots, just didn't hit enough good shots, and didn't make enough putts. That's kind of how it goes in those one-day qualifiers. You got to catch lightning in a bottle, and I came up empty-handed, but there'll be some more qualifiers for me here in the near future, and try to go out and light it up then.
Well, best to you. I found the water last weekend, so don't worry. You're like, yeah, shut up, Schmidt. Jay Moore with his black shirt Husker NFLer at JMoore44. Bird, we'll talk soon. Good to get caught up with you. Thanks for a few.
Yeah, we got it. You bet, Schmidt.
And we're back.
Fellas, think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Working through a Tuesday, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, good stuff from Jay Moore. A few thoughts here on Fred Hoiberg and the team as they had an open practice today. Good stuff from Derek Peterson on that and Mitch Sherman earlier. We'll get to Andy Reid's reaction on Tyreek Hill, his return to the Chiefs in one moment. But the big things to take away with Hoiberg and this Nebraska team and the 10 practices they're going to get and the tour of Italy is it's just going to work its way. It's going to work itself into really being a must for this team, because 10 different dudes, 10 different backgrounds, 10 different personalities, and five of you got to be on the court at the same time. And you got to communicate. You got to do what's best. You got to be unselfish. And you've got a number of kids that are used to roles or used to thriving and being the man and scoring. So the biggest thing I took away from Hoiberg's presser today is, how's this team going to deal with adversity? Do they keep battling? Yeah, when things are going well, they're kind of front running. And that's okay. It's early in this group's get together. But that's what Italy is going to teach them. They'll be able to tell who they can lean on, or guys they need to be able to lean on will have to respond better. So the team dealing with adversity, communication is key. Rebounding is going to be a mother. Mm-hmm. Stop me if you've heard that before. But I think your leader on the team is Hanif Cheatham. That's what I got out of Coach Hoiberg. He's your leader. He's tough. He's the one talking. He's an upperclassman. Kavas is your stud from three. Shamil is big time. They need him to get the waiver. Mm-hmm. And then Deshaun Burke is a guy they're working with. That the guy's been lights out from a scoring standpoint, but make the simple play was kind of what Hoiberg was talking about today, reiterating. Look, Deshaun, if they've got you doubled up or they pinch you off, pass the ball. Mm-hmm. Don't force it. And Burke's a guy that has had to force it at times, and he's been great because he can just light it up. He can score. So that's a few takeaways here. Thor has been pretty good. The ball movement is huge. You don't want it sticking. Find the open shot and kick and drill the three. Build that chemistry. Work on defense and defend. And rebounding is going to be an issue. Doc Sandler is going to be a monster for Nebraska because of what he has in his mind and he has in his demands from a team defensively. And we talked a lot about Charlie Easley the first 15 minutes of hour two, just some of the impressions he made in the open practice today. Let's talk Chiefs for a minute. So Andy Reid today spending some time with the media. This camp's about ready to get rocking and rolling for everybody in the NFL. A lot of rookies reporting today. But you look down at St. Joseph's, and I've never been to a Chiefs training camp. I know friends who've been to Kansas City's training camp. I know friends who've been to Denver's training camp. Mm-hmm. And I really like watching both those teams. One of them need to be good, quite honestly, for me to be a happy guy in the NFL. Don't care who it is. Sorry, Chief fan. Sorry, Donkey fan. But give me one or the other. So Andy Reid said that the Chiefs would welcome back Pro Bowl wideout Tariq Hill when the full squad training camp begins Saturday. We're comfortable with Tariq coming back, and we're looking forward to bringing him back here and having an opportunity to get back to doing what he loves to do. That was Reid's take yesterday from Missouri Western State University. 3-day minicamp gets rolling with quarterbacks and rookies. We have the trust in Tariq that he's going to go forward in a positive way. Reid said he's had a chance to talk to him on the phone in person. He spent quite a bit of time with him, actually. He's remorseful, and he's had to put all of us through and what he's gone through. That's a sensitive situation. He's very conscious of that. He wants to do what he needs to do to be a father and a player here in Kansas City. So Hill was suspended back in April from off-season program, from practices, after the KC TV station released the audio of Hill and his fiance. Now, the audio was doctored together, but Hill still got history. Hill's still a guy that has put his hands on a woman. Hill's still a guy that I wouldn't let babysit my child. So I hope things work out for him and he finds peace and he's nice to people, starting with his fiance and his son. Mm-hmm. There's no evidence that he abused his son. There's just words on a tape. Don't know how reliable or trustworthy she is when it comes to their relationship and their son. I do know that the guy choked her out when he was at Oklahoma State. And there's a reason Tariq Hill ended up whatever round he ended up with in Kansas City versus going top two rounds, because he's a freak talent. Mm-hmm. He's also a guy on my fantasy team, and that's neither here nor there. But you saw what he does and how great he is offensively in that system with that quarterback. He's incredible. He's unguardable. Doesn't matter. If there was evidence, if there is new evidence, if there's future evidence, got to punt him. I mean, in Kansas City, I mean, they lost their leading rusher.
Mm-hmm.
And they almost lost Hill. And the Chiefs, who are everyone's darling right now, were they a 12-win team last year?
12-4.
12-4,
yeah,
right?
So, yeah, 13-3, and, one of those two.
And Rexy got into the end zone to send New England to another Super Bowl. They're going to be drastically different. The Chiefs' defense has been an Achilles for them, obviously, but if they wouldn't have had Tariq, and I'm not saying they won't make the playoffs or wouldn't have made the playoffs, but it's going to be a far cry from an 11-12 win team. Again, mm-hmm. It just doesn't happen in the NFL. And as great as Mahomes is, and I love him, love watching him, love his joy for the game, teams have gone to work trying to figure him out. So I don't know if year two is going to be as, oh my God, look at this, year one. Just don't think so.
Yeah, it's an interesting
situation. They'll be
good.
They're not going to be last year.
It's an interesting situation because, yeah, you lose your running back who's now on
Cleveland.
Yeah, I mean, he'll sit out the first six games or whatever it is. But, yeah, it's one of those that – and
I just don't know what – I don't know what type of teammate or dude he is. I know how he's been painted as a father and a fiancé.
Right, and it's one of those things that, you know, we kind of talk about it with lesser accusations with – it shows, you know, showing commitment to the team, being trustworthy, all that. Obviously, a much more extreme side that you
talking
have to show.
Violence.
Right, right. You're talking a commitment to not only being a better teammate, a better player in the locker room or on the field, but also being a better person and better husband, father, son, whatever it may be, off the field as well, and giving back to a community like Kansas City, and finding a way to paint himself in a better way is probably the path he needs to go down.
Just stay out of trouble. Be a good dad. I'm not asking much. We'll wind out of Tuesday next.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Well, the mystery is solved. What does Pat Fitzgerald make in a season? Right after the amazing airing of the cell phone rant and college football attendant Sam, make that Steve Berkowitz, from USA Today, has found out that Northwestern football paid Fat Pat Fitzgerald, now we can call him Fat Pat, $5.1 million in 2017. That's according to the school's new tax documents. That's an increase of 1.5 over 2016, and likely from a contract extension announced in 2017. So if you're saying Pat Fitzgerald's making 5.1 a year, puts him right behind Harbaugh and Urban and about 100K in front of Frost. How did he respond? Well, not well with the non-conference, but exquisitely well in Big Ten play. You've got a river of money in the Big Ten, and you have Purdue paying Brahm a ton of money. You have Nebraska shelling out a lot for Frost.
Mm-hmm.
And good. You got Fitz making what he's making. It's Harbaugh at 9. That sound right?
Between 7 and 9. I know it's right
now. And it was shifted a lot of it into life insurance policies, but Harbaugh's got
a lot.
Tons of money. Urban was crushing it.
Yeah, I think he was making 8 or 9.
Mm-hmm. Where else are we at? Fitz at 5.1. Does that sound right annually, or do you think he got bonused up? But we're talking 17. We're not even talking 18.
I was going to say, if it's last year,
here's the thing.
If I'm
Northwestern, whatever he wants, because
he makes him relevant.
Yeah, they're winning 8 to 10 games a year,
mm-hmm. with six win game every so often.
Right, with what 6-win season, sure, yeah. But they'll still beat somebody of substance even in a down year.
Mm-hmm.
They play in a high school stadium. They have an amazing facility on the lake. And he was must listen to at media days because he's ticked off. He's getting the Rodney Dangerfield treatment. Mm-hmm. No respect. We'll see. But he gets super smart kids to play tough football.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you look at like last year, and I'm sure that base salary is probably around 4, which isn't like crazy anymore, but I
think about all the Northwestern alum.
It's private money, so
it's private money, and it's big time donors.
Yeah, so I mean, like, I could see
small but mighty
the bonus, you know, for winning at least a share of the Big Ten West and then like playing, but
he won
it
outright and they went to Indy. I mean, who'd have thought, dude? Right? Yeah. Would you have put money down that Northwestern won the West before Nebraska?
No.
Before Wisconsin? I know Wisconsin just did not long ago, but I mean, they're in the same mention. And they've been to the Big Ten title game as many times as Nebraska and Iowa. Brad Edwards tomorrow. We'll hit a Wednesday. Thanks for tuning in to Hail Varsity.